Hey Paige, what you doing?
Subscribing to Bark Box.
Oh, is that the one where the puppers get a monthly box full of toys and treats? Also, doesn't charge you more for having a bigger dog so that each pup gets the size of treats and toys that they need?
Yeah, that's the one, Sam. And did you know that if you use our link, barkbox.com/M3, True Crime Pod, you'll get a whole ass month free.
Let us help you spoil the shit out of your puppers.
Slay, queen, slay.
Hi, creeps and freaks.
Creepies and freakies.
I'm Michelle.
And I'm Courtney.
And we are In the Nick of Crime. We come to you weekly with true crime, some spook spooks,
and a little bit of comedy.
We focus on being a voice for victims,
but we also like to rake the offenders through the coals.
We can never really seem to take ourselves too seriously, but we do hope you'll join us.
So keep it creepy and stay freaky.
And we will see you next Tuesday.
Bye!
Hey, Sam.
Hey, Paige.
What you doing?
I'm just amazed that people have listened to us for an entire fucking year.
No shit.
Yeah.
One whole year?
One whole year. The 18th is our podiversary.
Podiversary?
Yes. You know, we got our pothole. We got the pothole. We got the podiversary. We're doing the whole pod thing. I'm surprised I'm not living in a pod, but I got too many fucking kids for that.
No shit. That would not work.
No. Listen. Hobbit house. It's my dream.
Yeah. That'd be cool. They have some around here.
I know. But I'm not kidding. That is my goal.
Hobbit house?
Hobbit house.
Well, you'd be perfect in it because you're so tiny.
Yeah, I'm short. Not so much tiny.
Oh god, whatever. Anyways, Sam, what else are we doing besides potholing?
I mean, we're doing that. We are recording a podcast.
What's that podcast called?
M Cubed.
Murder, Mystery, Mayhem.
Motherfucker. Okay, so for our podiversary, we have our patrons that have been amazing in our ridiculous hiatus that we've had recently.
I know. Thank you for sticking with us.
For real. So, we are doing a giveaway.
Yay!
And it's this lovely 18 by 24 poster.
It is pretty fucking awesome.
It is. It is. It makes me very happy.
And shout out to our Patreons. We've got patrons? Patreons? What did the fuck? What did we call them the other day?
I don't fucking remember.
I don't remember either. Fuck, I don't know.
I don't know. You're going to have to help us come up with a name because I don't like the word patron for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know. We've got Amy Ash.
Yes.
We've got Nocturnal Distractions, which is...
Kendra!
Yeah! Then we've got Live, Laugh, Murder.
Murder.
And that is Carmen and Joanna.
Carmen and Joanna!
And then we have Katie!
Katie!
Thank you guys so much.
You guys are fantastic.
Yes, for sure.
Fantastic. So, while we are recording, I'm going to push this button that has a wheel of everybody's name on it. And see who is going to get this lovely poster.
Who's the wiener?
I'm the wiener. Amy Ash!
Woo!
She gets it. Yay.
Congratulations, Amy.
I'll be sending this out soon. Actually, I gotta get the tube from Amazon first.
I was gonna say, how are you gonna send it?
Yeah.
That's how you'll send it?
Yeah.
The tube.
The tube.
You're gonna get the tube, Amy.
Okay, but seriously though, I was looking up on Amazon to find just one, because I just need one, just the fucking one.
You can't buy just one?
No, it's either two or like 50. There's no in between.
Wow.
There's no singular tube, and it makes me sad.
I know where you can get a tube.
Where can I get a tube?
Never mind. I've got one, but it has dicks on it.
Yeah, I don't want to send that. Maybe. I don't know.
So, since both of us are working full-time, we have decided that we are going to change the day that we release episodes so we can stay on track of things, even though we've, again, gone on a hiatus, and I swear one of these days we'll figure it out. But, so we're going to be changing our release days to Sundays instead of Thursdays, because both of us work until at least 5 every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so the weekends we have a little bit more time. And maybe it'll be slightly less stressful. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll keep you updated.
As long as the computers remain intact and functioning.
Oh, fuck. I just remembered what story we're doing.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Part 3. And I'm okay, so instead of being very detailed on all of the things that this crazy bitch did, I'm going to, unfortunately, have to gloss over some of it, but still hit how fucking insane she is.
Yeah, I forgot.
So you wanna get in there and do this so we can get over with and talk about something else after? Listen, Paige bought me the most amazing things. And they make me happy.
They're pretty funny.
They're the little tear-off calendars. And one of them has cats. And I'll take a picture at some point and show you guys.
They're funny cats. Makes me happy.
And then the other one is all ghosty related. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do one of those random things for our sort of dumbassery at the end.
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
Okay.
All right, let's get talking about Shmelly Shelly.
Psycho Shelly?
Psycho Shelly.
So I was thinking about this the other day.
Okay.
Because whenever I get into my car, I typically don't have the music or anything on because I'm, like, overwhelmed constantly, apparently.
What?
So I'm just like, I need silence. And then I get home and then, like, my teenager is...
You drive in your car in silence? Yes.
Sometimes. Not all times, but, like...
Oh, okay, just when you're overstimulated. Yes. I was like, well, so, wait a minute.
No. Sometimes it helps, because I, like...
Oh, well, yeah, if you're anyway. Overstimulated, you need silence.
But when I do this, mm-hmm. when I drive in silence, I talk like a crazy
person. Oh, no, I do that, too. 100%.
Like,
I do
conversations
that.
With myself. So I'll answer myself, and then, you know, I'll go back and forth, and like, I probably look like I'm insane. Thankfully, no. People think that I have Bluetooth going.
Exactly.
But in my van, the Bluetooth is not connected.
Well, it doesn't matter. Nobody knows that. Nobody knows that.
It's just the funniest thing, because I'm like, I'm in a van.
What?
You know how my hands move?
Oh, yeah. So, for sure.
I'm sitting there driving, and my other hand that's not on the wheel is just, like, all over the place.
Sometimes I'll do it by accident out in front of people, like not in my car. And so then I'll put my finger over my ear like I've got a Bluetooth in. I swear to God, I do it. I'll just be like, I'll put my, like this, and yeah. I'll just be like, uh-huh, yeah, okay, bye.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I do it so often, it's so bad.
Yeah, see, I don't even try anymore. If I start talking and people are around, it's just... Okay. But the people that know me, know the work version of me at least.
Crazy lady.
You're like, there's Sam. But anyway, I had a revelation in my car the other day in one of my silent moments in there. And the fact that, because I know that we hit on that nobody really knew what was going on, but there were people that had an inkling. Because... people in town called her Psycho Shelly.
Well, she was, like, so erratic, too.
Oh, exceedingly. If something didn't go her way, then, you know, she would force the issue.
Not that they knew that she was abusing her kids or anything like that.
Right. So, they may not have known the extent of her personality there, but there was some inkling there to be like, she's crazy, stay away.
Right.
I was like, what? Like, I know that you shouldn't call referrals in on people just because they're a little weird. But, like,
And it was a different time. I hate saying that, but it was.
It was. Like, children's services existed, but not to the extent that it is now. Or family services. I'm not sure which one it is in Washington. But I just thought it was the craziest thing. But also, I'll get to a part here in a little bit where people witness certain things. Maybe not her actual abuse, but they witnessed certain things, and it never triggered going, oh, we should probably have somebody check on them.
I remember reading that they would go to school, like, really unwashed, unkept, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And
yeah.
I mean, that's a sign.
That it is. But also, and I'll have to go into it a little bit further, but Kathy Loreno, mm-hmm. her, and I say this in quotes, friend, that she brought in because she had a falling out with her mother, and she was supposed to, and Kathy was there to help her with her chemo treatments and to get her to and from her appointments, and then also to help her with the kids that Shelley claimed were unruly and abusive toward her.
Mm-hmm.
And Kathy believed this because that's the type of person Shelley is. She's going to tell you a story, and she's going to have you sucked right into it. And if you don't know her, or the details, you're going to believe it. But then Kathy is there, and Shelley did her thing, where, you know, she started off fantastic. She had her own space, she had her own bed, she had her own belongings on the walls, she had everything decorated, she had her own jewelry. She was able to take care of herself. She was allowed to go to the bathroom. She was allowed to take showers for a very short time.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shelley, being Shelley, started drugging her, started taking away those, I think I called them rights last time, you know, those things that people need to do. Like, she started taking away the bathroom privileges. She took away showers. She took away clothes. She took away her bed and her space. And not only did she do this, she then started getting the children, especially Shane, to go after Kathy. She broke this woman down to the point beyond anything that she did with Dave. The psychological, the physical, and just absolute torture that she did to this woman. She broke her down. She was a hairdresser who took care of herself. By the time Shelley did what she did, she looked terrible. She lost an extreme amount of weight.
Mm-hmm.
She lost her teeth. She lost her hair. Not only because she was being drugged and starved. Shelley took scissors to her hair and chopped it off because she wanted that control. She wanted to take that one thing that Kathy loved and take it away. Kathy was a taller woman that was, like, she wasn't rail thin. Like, she was, she looked kind of normal to me, to be honest, but she wasn't, like, super tiny. Shelley would gaslight her into believing that she had gotten up in the middle of the night and was sleep eating. To do this, to convince this woman that she was doing something that she knew she wasn't,
mm-hmm.
one, she would drug her, so she would pass the fuck out and not remember anything after that point. But she would take, like, a plate of cake and hide it under her bed and smear food on her face. So it's like, oh, this is why you're your size. Because you just keep eating at night. And so she started pulling that food away. You know, you're unhealthy. You're at an unhealthy weight. You need to stop. So she started locking up the cabinets and everything. But then, after the gaslighting and making her feel like absolute garbage, even though she's like, no, I don't think I was doing that. I've never done that before. She convinced her that she was doing it. But then, that wasn't enough. She started the physical abuse. She started hitting her. Punching her, kicking her, slapping her, pulling her hair. She's a grown-ass woman attacking another because she wants control.
Yep.
But it was little by little, obviously, because if she started off with the physical attacks, then she probably wouldn't have, you know,
stayed.
Stuck around.
but she was so beaten down and mentally.
Yeah.
It's hard to get out of situations like that.
Yeah. She would send Shane and Nikki, mostly Shane, after Kathy. And then she would go to her and rescue her. Shelly would go rescue Kathy because Shane was just so, so mean. And it had nothing to do with Shelly. Shelly was the one that was there to help always. Before it got to the point where the drugs that Shelly had been giving her was taking a toll on her mind.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, because she had such a great bond with Sammy at first. And really, they had a pretty good bond the entire time. But Shelly did her thing where she pitted everybody against each other. And they weren't allowed to talk or whatever it is that Shelly decided she wanted at the time. Kathy once told Sammy, who was still very little at this time, "I wish you guys," meaning the kids, "could help me, but I know you can't." And unfortunately, at this point, with Kathy there, it took Shelly's demented, not all of it, some of it, some of her demented, super focusing on the kids, and she split that. Her attention was mostly on Kathy.
Right.
Kathy and Shane and Nikki. But if Kathy was the center of Shelly's focus at that time, then the kids were getting a reprieve. And even though they felt bad for Kathy, they felt relieved, but then terrible. And then really, it was a terrible cycle. And they talk about it in the book a lot, where now as adults, they kind of kick themselves for not doing more. But they also know that they couldn't have. They were stuck, just as Kathy was. She kept that wedge between Kathy and her mother and the rest of her family firmly in place, so that way Kathy wouldn't have anywhere to go, and she wouldn't have anybody to tell, even if she did go somewhere. And Kathy did try to escape several times, but Shelly hunted her down, just like she did with Shane, every time. And she brought her back every time. And it got to the point where Kathy wasn't even looked at as a human in Shelly's eyes anymore. And you could tell by the way she was treating her worse and worse. Like, she wouldn't allow her to ride in the car, in the front or back seats. She had to ride in the trunk.
Always. Isn't that so insane?
And she would
just do it.
And she would do it.
I mean, I understand, but yeah. Dadgum, that is just, how do you treat somebody so badly?
This entire fucking thing blows my mind, and the fact that nobody saw anything is even more so. Like, she would make her go lay down in the trunk, even though there would be room.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. When they went to the laundromat. So they would have the clothes in the back seat with the kids instead of in the trunk. Shelly would decide to leave Kathy in the trunk, and then the kids would go out and check on her, make sure everything's okay, and she'd be like, "Oh, is it nice outside?"
That is just so sad. Yeah. That is heartbreaking.
They even went on, like, camping trips, and she had to ride in the trunk. And instead of being there around the fire or sleep in a tent or do anything with the family, because she was supposed to be part of that family, right? She was made to sleep under the vehicle without a sleeping bag. And again, nobody fucking saw anything.
And again, this woman is free.
And she's free. I can't.
Also, with her. Not only is she free, she's denying all this.
Oh, yes. She is.
She did not do any of this.
She is adamant that none of this happened, but she understands that her children, they need to heal. Nikki and Shane, at one point, I'm not sure when this was, but at one point they were like, they found this stash of pills that Shelly was giving Kathy. And there was a green and white capsule labeled Prozac, I guess, is what was on the bottle. I don't know if that was actually Prozac or not.
Probably
there's
not.
Honestly no telling. But for some reason, Shane decided to take one. And within about 20 minutes, he was absolutely loopy. And Shelly was giving Kathy multiple of these.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so she was constantly drugged. She was constantly berated. She was constantly just, she was a shell of herself.
Yeah.
By the time Shelly dug into her, Kathy was forced to sleep in the basement, in the same basement that Shane slept in, until he was moved upstairs into Nikki's closet. Why that move, I'm not entirely sure, to be honest. All of her personal belongings were stripped from her, and Kathy was forced to, just like the kids, she was randomly forced, jerked out of bed, forced to sleep outside. Could be the dead of winter, or dead of summer. Like, it didn't matter what time of year, didn't matter what the weather was, didn't matter if the fucking ground was frozen. And to describe how the terror that these kids have had witnessed, there was one night that Kathy was forced to go outside in the freezing, literal freezing weather. There was snow on the hill. Kathy was forced to walk up the hill naked, and then she was pushed down by Shelly or Dave. I'm not entirely sure which one it was. It could have been either one. It was probably Dave, while Shelly was standing behind him yelling at him to do it. But then when she got to the bottom of the hill, she was forced to march back up, just do it again, and again, and again. And the kids described going outside the next day and seeing a bloody trail in snow where she was forced to just slide down. And it wasn't even sliding, it was just tumbling.
Right, tumbling.
Because she was pushed. It wasn't like she willingly got on her butt and slid.
Right.
She was shoved. In 1991, Kathy's mother needed to have heart surgery, and her family tried to track Kathy down because Kathy was, at one point, very close with her mother. But Shelly, being Shelly, made that difficult. And so there started to be that resentment between Kathy, not really with Kathy, it was her family thinking that Kathy didn't want anything to do with them. And Shelly playing, you know, I've talked to her. I told her. I don't know why she's being like this. Mm-hmm. I don't know why she's being like that. I just, you know, if it were me, I would be there for my mother. All while not telling Kathy or not allowing Kathy to have any response, because Kathy was not a human to her. She was a thing. And I don't know if I spoke about this before, but at the home that they were living in, there were multiple, like, little buildings. They specifically called one a pole building?
Pole barn.
Pole barn, maybe? But it was smaller, I guess, and it had a door, and there was no way to escape it. And the reason we know this is because not only did Kathy, but the children also had to spend time in the pole building. Because Shelly decided they had done something wrong. It was their punishment. And again, didn't matter whether it was absolutely freezing or burning up outside. It didn't matter. So we all know how Shelly was about leaving her prisoners, I'm going to call them, in the care of her other prisoners.
Yeah.
Just randomly.
Right.
Well, at this point, it was post-1992. It was after 1992. Shane and Nikki, Kathy, were all very tired of the things that were going on. So Kathy tried to run away multiple times. Shelly told Shane not to let Kathy out of the pole barn. He said, fuck it, after she left, I'm letting her out. She's going to die.
Yeah.
Because she was decaying, and you could tell. At this point, she had lost all the weight. Her skin was the elasticity in your skin as a 20-some-odd-year-old person was not there. Her teeth were not there. There was nothing there. That she was not there. He tried to let her out, and she refused.
Yeah.
Instead of showers, Nikki, Shane, and Kathy, they were forced to just be sprayed down with the water hose. Sometimes they would have, you know, some type of soap. But at this point in Kathy's deteriorating body, with sores and random things all over her body because of the whole, you know, malnutrition thing.
Yeah.
And the attacks that were happening, Shelly thought it would be better to make sure that she was very, very cleaned by using bleach and spraying her with bleach and water. And at one point, it just got to the point where she was just throwing water, bleach on her. And we all know what that does to a person. And especially if you have sores.
Yeah.
Shelly would have Dave or Shane use duct tape to hold her in place or tape her mouth shut because, you know, nobody can hear her. Once they were done with the shower of bleach, Shelly would do that caretaker thing.
Mm-hmm.
She would be sweet. She would put her arm around her. And she'd be like, it's okay now. You're clean. Everything's okay. And she'd shower her with love. Then Shelly started using that little building to lock her up. And Shane. If she just didn't want to deal with him. If she didn't want to deal with worrying about whether they were going to run off and tell somebody or whatever. Lock them in there so she could sit on her ass and watch her TV and eat whatever the fuck it is that she wanted to eat because she was the only one in the house that was fucking allowed. For some reason, and I guess for good reason, she was never really worried about the girls telling anyone.
And that's insane to me. I mean, I understand, but still.
Well, she drilled it in their heads that, you know, if you tell somebody about any of this, then they're going to take me away from you.
Exactly.
They're going to take me away, and it's going to ruin our family, and if you talk, you ruin our family.
Yep.
And family was the most important thing, even though it was a fucked up version of it. But for them, that was their norm. And as they got older, they kind of saw that that wasn't normal. And so, unfortunately, Nikki was not rebellious at all. Not even in the slightest. She just was not. Sammy was a little bit more. She's that middle child.
Yeah.
But her rebellions were small. They weren't, like, she had, I guess, said enough to her friends that when she was a teenager, if she got in a little bit later, or at whatever time Shelly decided to lock the fucking door, her boyfriend or her friends would park the car so their headlights were hitting directly onto the door, and they would sit there and honk their horn until Shelly opened the door. Because they knew that she would have to sleep outside.
Right.
Or at least suspected something was going on.
Yeah.
But this wasn't always. This wasn't her... Birthday parties happened. Like, they were huge birthday parties. They mm-hmm. were a bunch of people over and having a barbecue and smiling faces and wonderful times were had. But the moment everybody left, she would find that one thing that kid loved the most, and if it wasn't the fucking thing that she got them, all hell would break loose. Christmas time was the same. For a very short time, everything was amazing. And then everything went to hell again. Unfortunately for Kathy, nothing got better. Shelly withheld the bathroom with Kathy so much that at one point, shortly before everything that happened with her, she shit in a Tupperware bowl and left it in the floor. And I think that was her form of rebellion against Shelly.
Yeah.
In her very drugged, very shell of a person kind of state.
Mm-hmm.
Shelly beat the ever-loving shit out of her because she used the bathroom when she needed to. And then it turned into Shelly losing her mind telling Dave about how terrible Kathy is, and she just doesn't understand why she is the way she is. They do so much for her, and there's the whole list of imaginary things that Shelly thinks that she's done for every person ever that existed in the entire universe, I think. And she just doesn't understand why she has to be so disrespectful. And Dave, being Dave, and not home at all at this point, he believed every word. But it wasn't just beating the shit out of her. She created this, like, seesaw contraption, duct taped her to this contraption, and her mouth. No, I don't know. She didn't duct tape her mouth this time. And then she began waterboarding her.
Yep.
She made the children look she out. She
made a contraption to waterboard somebody. And yet, she didn't do none of this shit.
Yeah.
And yet, she's walking free.
The three older children, Shane, Nikki, and Sammy, were all positioned at certain points in the yard to see if anybody was coming.
She is. That. Yep.
Yep. She made it. She did the torturing. Actually, she and Dave did the torturing. She used the children as lookouts, yet she only got 22 years. So not long after this, Kathy's health just bottomed out. It got to the point where she could barely lift her head. She couldn't use her arms. She couldn't walk. She could barely verbalize anything. The kids were giving her baby toys to play with to keep her occupied. Like that's where she was at this point, and she was in her 20s. Shelley made Dave create a little room downstairs with a bed for Shelley, and that's where she stayed, essentially, like, all the time. That's where she stayed. She had a bed, and she told the kids, who were very worried about Kathy because something was obviously not right. Oh, she's getting better. It's fine. I'm taking care of her. She's getting better. She's going to be great. But she just kept getting worse and worse. And then it got to the point where she couldn't even verbalize anything. She couldn't move her own body. She sounded like a wounded animal. That Dave, at this point, knew there was something wrong. But for some reason, he chose to trust his wife, who had shown her sadistic side over and over and over and over again. And he let it continue. And in July of 1994, Dave happened to be home, and he describes these animalistic noises coming from Kathy's bedroom. And he went to check on her. And while he was in there checking on her and trying to clean her up because she had vomited, she stopped breathing. At this point reading the book, I'm like, it can't get any worse, can it? It just fucking can't. That she destroyed an entire human being. Like, maybe now this is when she gets caught. Because, like I said at the very beginning of this, I didn't know much more than a couple of people died. This was their sentences, and that was it. That I didn't do any current digging before I read that book. What happened next tells you the kind of person she is, even more than anything else I have told you.
I was about to say, what? Like, because she is already so bad.
Not only did she decide that they were going to have to cover it up, because obviously her condition is something happened to her, so the cops would do something about it, and then it would ruin the family. The kids would be gone. Everybody would be fucking gone. There would be no more family. So they had to like come up with a plan. But Nikki and Shane saw that Kathy was dead. She was gone. They knew it. Sammy didn't know. Sammy was still very young and still not quite sure of all the things that were going on.
Mm-hmm.
She and Dave came up with a plan to essentially create a crematorium in the fire pit. They were going to burn Kathy's body to get rid of any evidence and all of her belongings. But to keep Shelley's lie about where Kathy went, Shelley took the girls to a motel that had a pool. Dave and Shane stayed at the home. And Shane was forced to help Dave burn Kathy's body and dispose of her whatever remained of her, into the river or into the ocean. Because they scooped up all of the ashes and they dumped it in the ocean. She had lived with them just under 6 years. And it blows my mind that it took that long for her to die, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because of all the things that she did to her.
6 years of torture. Could you imagine 6 years of torture?
I can't imagine one day of what she went through.
Mm-mm.
So this was 1994. To continue her cover story, She had found a picture. Actually, I think years before, she had taken Kathy when she knew what she was going to fucking do to her. So while she still looked healthy, she took her to like a truck stop or something like that and had her take a picture with a random person. And it was just blurry enough. So her health at that point had been deteriorating, but not to the point it was when she died.
Mm-hmm.
Took the picture, slightly out of focus. This is her boyfriend. She decided that she didn't want to live here anymore. She wanted to go on her own adventure. He's an over-the-road truck driver. This is her friend. This is her boyfriend. And you know, if anybody comes asking, she left with her boyfriend. It was rocky, I think. She went so far as to write... No. She had Nikki forge letters from Kathy to her mother, after all these years of no contact, talking about how she was so happy that she was off with Rocky, and she was having such a wonderful life. She then made Dave drive to various parts of, like, Canada and other random parts of the country to send letters. But then she freaked out, got Kathy's mom's mailbox key from her keychain, had Dave... stuck the mailbox, and right after the mailman showed up to drop the letters in, he had to take them back.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I don't, or at least one of them. Maybe not yeah. one of them, but at least one. And I just, I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't remember that part.
But Shelley got so fucking paranoid about everything.
Oh yeah, she's obviously. Super annoyed.
Her sadistic torture of the children didn't stop.
Of course not.
But she was more careful about it because they were going to school and there were more eyes on them.
Yeah.
So if there were any bruises, they would be where it could be covered up by clothing.
Mm-hmm.
So very paranoid that she forced Nikki and Shane to sneak under the home of their neighbor, the closest one, and listen to their conversations over the summer to see if they knew anything. And this family was, I'm not entirely sure why she chose this family. I guess that's because they were closer and they probably could have smelled something. But Dave covered up the smell of burning flesh with burning tires
mm-hmm.
along yeah. with it.
Right.
But she forced them to stay under their home from like sun up to sundown. And sometimes later, because she wanted to see if they knew anything. But this family was, for lack of a better word, poor. Like they did not have, I think they had one vehicle that was sometimes working. They were on government assistance. They couldn't afford for a trash pickup. So they started piling trash bags behind their home, and under their home, actually. Their home was in disrepair. But their kids were taken care of. Their kids were fed, their kids were clean, their kids were happy. And for some reason, Shelley singled them out. And she started kind of torturing them, too. I must not have wrote what she actually did to them, but, like, she would do some stupid shit with their doorknobs. Just something ridiculous. Trying to get them, be inconvenient enough for them to leave. And in her paranoia, she looked at her family, Dave. He was never going to fucking talk about anybody. He wasn't going to ruin that family. Sammy and Nikki were the only ones that were old enough to talk and know what was going on. They wouldn't say anything. Shelley wasn't going to fucking say anything. So left Shane. Shane was the weakest link. Because she knew Shane hated her. And even though everybody tried to convince her that Shane wasn't going to say anything, it didn't stop her. And in February of 1995, Shane was gone one day. He was gone. But Shelley didn't do her normal jump in the car and take off after him and hunt him like an animal.
Right, like she normally does.
She pulled out a birdhouse that she said came from him, that he had made, and left a note that said, "I love you, Mom."
Sorry.
No, that's exactly what should be done. It's fucking ridiculous. Shane hated her. Everybody knew that Shane hated her. Sammy was still kind of young, so she was just like, maybe he's happy. Mm-hmm. But she gave the story of him going off to, oh fuck, where did she say? I forget where she said he went, like Vancouver or something. And they hoped, or Nikki hoped, that that was true. And so, because I can't take any more, I'm going to end this episode.
That was definitely a full T-Rex episode.
The rest of them are going to be four T-Rexes.
Holy shit.
I'm going to try and do all of Ron and the World War II bit next time. And then we might just discuss the sentencing and why the sentencing was so light on another episode.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah. That way we could be angry at the law and how it's written.
So, yeah.
Because it sounds amazing to me because I'm furious. I tried to cut back on the awkward giggles that happened this time, and it just turned into me not being able to speak actual sentences.
Yeah. You were just miming over there.
I was. Anyway, we'll finish this.
I don't know that I can handle two more weeks of this, Samantha.
Okay, listen. One more.
I called you Samantha.
You did, and I did not enjoy that. One more full T-Rex episode of gore, terrible details. Just terrible details. And then the next one, everybody could just be pissed because of the sentencing. Like, we can do that.
Okay.
It'll be okay. Maybe.
I don't know that it'll be okay, but we'll get through it.
We will. People need to know about this bitch.
No, yeah, for sure. Let's talk about some different shit.
Let's find some random shit. I'm going to take half this, and you're going to take the other half and find something fun.
Fun?
Yeah. The Ghost of a Flea by William Blake.
Oh, how profound.
In 1820. This miniature, about 8.5 by 6.5 inches, yet terrifying painting, apparently depicts the ghost of a flea holding a cup for blood, drinking. That's gross.
That's funny.
Why would William Blake paint such a thing? According to his friend John Varley, who wrote about Blake in Treatise on
I mean, that's gotta be what it is, right?
Yeah.
It's Zodiac.
Zodiac with an A-L at the end.
Zodical?
I don't know.
I have no fucking idea either.
I don't know. Anyway.
You're supposed to know these words, not me.
This is worse than prescriptions. I'm just saying. Blake had a vision of this bestial and ravenous flea ghost as he tried to capture its likeness. It revealed to him that all fleas are inhabited by the souls of bloodthirsty men who have died.
What?
This is the painting.
Oh my god, that's so crazy.
It's fucking creepy. I'm gonna have to take a picture and post it.
Yeah. Famous paintings of ghosts. Cool.
Yeah.
Alright, I got a question for you.
Okay.
In the movie The Shining, what is the number of the room in the Overlook Hotel in which Danny encounters a ghost who tries to strangle him? I'll give you multiple choice. A, 237. B, 666. C, 113. D, 405.
I feel like 666 would be too on the nose.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe 113?
Nope.
Oh, what?
237.
I wonder what the significance of that is.
I can't remember. Isn't there... It's been forever since I've seen the movie. Oh, shit.
Why are you breaking things?
I'm sorry. I'm sure sorry.
I have a question for you.
Okay. I'm not going to know it.
I'm probably not. I don't know if I would know this, actually. What was the name of the captain on the famous ghost ship, the Flying Dutchman, who tried to navigate around Cape Horn in a storm, resulting in death of everyone on board? Is it A, John Rakeham? Almost said John McCord. B. Francis Drake. C. Hendrik Vanderdecken. Captain Underpants.
I don't think it's Captain Underpants. Is it A?
No, it's Hendrik Vanderdecken.
Vanderdecken? Okay.
I didn't know that answer.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Anyways, hold on, let me find one. There's so many.
There are. I like these random little quotes. It's easier to dismiss ghosts in the daylight. Patricia Briggs. And Dragon Bones.
Yeah. That's... Oh, this is great. Let me read this to you. Can a person be scared to death?
I'm going to say yes.
Yes. Due to the body's flight or fight response, when someone is very afraid, adrenaline and other chemicals are dumped into their bloodstream in a process known as stress cardiomyopathy. I can't fucking say it. Or, more lyrically, broken heart syndrome. So high amounts of these chemicals can be toxic to the organs, including the heart, which begins to pump faster and faster. I think this was a Supernatural episode.
Yes.
The excess adrenaline causes calcium to enter the heart, which keeps it from slowing down, causing ventricular fibrillation. Unless treated quickly, this irregular heart rhythm can lead to death after exposure to sudden excitement or frights. Ghost hunters, beware. This is one job hazard you wouldn't want to fall victim to.
You are correct about it being a Supernatural episode.
It's like one of my favorite ones.
It's the funniest.
Whenever Sam opens the locker.
Yeah.
Whoa, that was scary.
It's the episode where he does the Eye of the Tiger thing in the car.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's the one.
Yeah, because he's itchy.
Yeah.
I can't hear Eye of the Tiger without thinking of it.
Oh, I know. It's fantastic. Spooky joke. Why don't ghosts like the rain?
Why don't ghosts like the rain? I don't know why.
Because it dampens their spirits.
Oh, my. Hilarious. Oh, shit. Here we go. Another quiz.
Okay.
How many people associated with the 1973 film The Exorcist died during production?
Oh.
A is 2. B is 20. C is 9. And D is 666.
Again, 666 on the nose.
2, 20, 9.
I'm going to go with 9.
Yes.
This is a nice middle ground. 2 seem too low.
I don't know if that's nice that 9 people died.
Okay, no, it's not nice number because of people dying, but I'm saying that it's like the middle number. That was my reasoning behind it.
9 people died during that production. Mm-hmm. That's awful.
Yeah. And I said it was nice.
You said it was nice?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so for today's...
You're going to do today's quiz?
Today's ghost quiz.
Okay.
Which actor played the Ghost Rider in Columbia Pictures' adaptation of the classic Marvel story about a stunt motorcyclist who Nicolas sells his Cage. Soul to the devil to save his father's life and becomes a ghostly bounty hunter for hell?
Nicolas Cage.
Okay, but listen to the...
It's a good movie, though.
Yeah, it's fine.
you don't like Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage annoys the piss out of me. He's a fantastic guy, I guess. Like, he's not problematic for the most part, I guess. But in his movies, he is essentially the same person in all of them. Except for the one where he tries to be... I think he was, like, supposed to be a Templar or something. And he went from being sort of British to being Jack Sparrow to being English, like... American English coming out. Like, there were so many different fucking accents, I just couldn't handle it. Yeah. But here are the potential answers for that question, though. Sam Elliott, Nicolas Cage, Vin Diesel, and Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves.
Obviously not Paige.
Maybe.
We discussed this.
Maybe. Oh, Keanu Reeves believes in ghosts.
Of course he does.
You know who else does? Kristen Stewart, Melissa McCarthy, Rihanna, and Selena Gomez.
None of those surprise me. Yes. Actually, there's a couple of things I want to talk about at some point soon. Probably not in the same episodes with Shelley, but I am going to share this update. One of the first episodes that we did was about Tyler Durden. And he was shot very much on purpose.
But supposedly in self-defense.
Yeah, not as much horseshit. We may end up recording another episode about it just because the audio in that was complete shit. But anyway, so his mother's husband, yes, I know there is a different word for that, but I don't like using it in this particular case.
I can't Fisher, right?
Yes.
Albert.
Albert Wayne Fisher.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, Albert's also is a bad name.
He was sentenced for to 6 years, the maximum of 6 years, for manslaughter.
Is that for parole?
And he has only been in prison for 1 year, and he is now eligible for parole next month. Anger.
And nobody's going to go up and talk against it.
Oh, because his mom,
but his mom is, like, they're still...
She may not, but his aunt...
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. And I'm hoping that...
Maybe.
The neighbor... No, definitely.
Okay, good. Good.
And I'm hoping the neighbor that actually saw everything go down, because she was literally on the porch with him, I'm hoping that she also goes to the parole hearings.
Yeah.
Because it is absolutely insane to think that somebody says...
Get out in 1 year? His life wasn't worth more than one freaking year? That is ridiculous to me.
Yeah, no. Okay, so during the trial, and I know I touched on this before, but during the trial, he said, oh, I've had the handgun training.
Obviously not.
No, he's talking about, like, that super quick, hey, don't point the gun at somebody unless you mean to shoot them.
Oh, okay, yeah, I got you.
He knew.
It's been a minute since we've done that.
Yeah, well, he knew that it was dangerous to point a gun at him.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look at the autopsy report, it shows the trajectory of the bullet.
Right.
And if he was telling the truth, that would not have been as steep. Just want to point that out. Nah.
She just threw something at me.
I threw all the audacity that was...
She's momming again.
I am. No, it just makes me so mad. He fucking...
Oh, yeah.
No matter how many times that you replay something in your head, there has to be some nugget of truth. And his little nugget of truth was complete shit.
Yeah.
And the people that were on the jury that day apparently... weren't taking notes.
That's what I sometimes...
Detail-oriented.
I feel like juries are kind of weird because they're just average... I guess it's good that they're just average people, but then they're not really...
They don't know what to... Okay, no.
They don't, yeah, they don't know what to really look for. They don't know...
You've never been on a jury, have you?
No, I want to be so bad!
Listen, the most ridiculous thing is... Before the jury is released after the trial, because it could be like days upon days upon days of
I want a new jury today.
But right before they are released to go deliberate, the judge lists off the current charge, what they could find him guilty of, and the 15 things that go along with that. So for like premeditated murder... Like, first-degree murder, it had to be premeditated. And premeditated means blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And it's in the most, like, monotone thing. Because they have to go through this all the time.
Yeah.
And it takes 20 minutes just to just...
Burr. And nobody's
And you fun. Could just... You could just see the... Everybody just...
And this is important. That is important. And there's other people
that are over there taking notes. Like, yeah, no, okay, shit, so that would be me. First degree murder. It's this, 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 and this. Okay, got it. But if it doesn't meet all of those requirements, then you go to the next one.
Exactly. Which obviously it wasn't premeditated.
But they were trying for second degree.
Mm-hmm.
But ended up getting manslaughter. Somehow.
Thanks for that.
So I'm hoping that he is denied and he has to stay the full 6 years, even though it is not even anywhere near enough time. I brought it right down again. I am so sorry.
Good fucking job, Sam.
I can't help it. So, now that I've, like, brought everybody fucking down, if you would like to talk to us about random things, find us on the social media, you know, the Twitter, the Instagram, and the Facebook. Or you can send us an email at
m3truecrimepod@gmail.com.
It's been so long and you did so good. I'm so proud of you. you can go to the link tree that is in the show notes below and find
all the shit.
All of our shit. All of it. Patreon.
Case suggestions.
Yes, which is like essentially an open forum. So you could just put anything in there.
Yeah.
Like anything.
Like chicken feet pictures.
God dang it, I really wish you would forget about that. yeah, so there's that.
Send us your pecker. Sorry. Chicken. I meant chicken.
I know. She got me. Yeah, I don't know what the fuck to say to that.
Send us some ghost stories.
Ghosty stories. Yeah.
Some funny stories.
Yeah.
Send us some
true crime related stories that are in your area nobody's talking about.
Missing people.
You feel need coverage.
Yeah. Send us some missing people that need more exposure.
Pop up on the Milk Carton Chronicles more. Go read this book about Psycho Shelley and tell us your thoughts.
Yeah, it's not Grouch. It's called If You Tell by Greg Olson.
This is true.
It is awful.
It's an incredibly well-written book. It is a terrible story that will make you angry and probably cry and exceedingly frustrated and just absolutely hate humanity after this. But, you know, it is eye-opening.
Definitely.
So, go do that. And then go find us on all of the things and do the things and things.
And things.
As I mime juggle. Mime some juggling. your face.
And balls. Juggling balls.
Juggling balls. Okay.
Shut my balls, Mr. Garrison. Sorry. Okay. Bye.